That is what we all long for, isn't it? Whoever we are and wherever we come from, what color of our skin, doesn't really matter that much. We long for God's peace to be in us, to remake us, to make us whole. We long for God's peace in our world. And so, God, in this moment, we open up our hearts, asking that that might be true. We open up our ears that we might hear from you, your word, to us as individuals in this world and to us as churches in this world. Fill us now, we pray, through Christ. Amen. Well, this fall, we here at Dayspring have been tracing the larger story of the Old Testament. So we started off in Genesis with, of course, Adam and Eve, and then we went on to Abraham and then his grandson, Joseph, which led us into Egypt, where the descendants of Abraham were enslaved. And so then we had, of course, the calling and life of Moses, and Moses leading the people out of slavery to Mount Sinai, where they received the great covenant from God that was written on the two stone tablets. And certainly we could have spent all fall there just following Moses and the people around in their wilderness journey. But the story keeps moving forward, and we're moving forward to this time of Christ coming at Christmas. So before you know it, we were with Hannah and her prayer, and then the birth of her son Samuel, and then on to King David and the rise of the kingdom in Israel. And everything is looking really great for God's people. God promises David that someone from his line will sit on the throne forever. But then pretty soon, that kingdom breaks into two, with Israel up on the north and Judah down on the south. And then we read Jonah's story. Jonah, who was a prophet that had to be reminded, God, the God of Abraham was a God for all people. And so Jonah had to go and preach to foreigners in the land north of Israel, their enemies even, Assyria. And then last week we were with Isaiah who receives this vision in the temple where his entire being and mindset is reoriented into this deeper life of God. And today, the time keeps moving forward because now we are in Jeremiah. And once we get to Jeremiah, there is no more northern kingdom. It's been wiped out from the face of the earth. Wiped out by the kingdom of Assyria. And all that's really left of this ancient kingdom of David, this ancient kingdom where David once reigned, now is the small kingdom of Judah in the south. But Judah, they've been holding their own. They've been doing okay. The Assyrians weren't able to take them to. Judah has a few good years, but that is all about to come to an end. This is the last week we have in the time of the kings. Next week, of course, begins Advent, and in Advent we will be in exile, which is pretty appropriate for Advent, being in exile, longing for salvation, hoping for something to be renewed and restored, waiting for God to show up again. That's what Advent is really all about, and that's where we'll be next week. So today we are coming to an ending. The ending of the kingdom where David reigned on the throne. We're in these last few years before Jerusalem is going to be burnt to the ground. And the kingdom that the people of God had been hoping to reign forever will be no more. And Jeremiah is the lucky prophet that gets to tell all the people that this is about to happen. So you can imagine he was a real popular guy. Everybody just loved listening to Jeremiah. They loved having him follow them around about as much as you'd like Eeyore to follow you around all day. Might as well give in, Jeremiah would say. Babylon's going to destroy us anyway. He was kind of this joy-kill prophet. Of course, the truth is that Jeremiah has a whole lot of tenacity. Jeremiah doesn't like his assignment any more than the people like hearing it. But he does it anyway, and he keeps doing it. He keeps telling them year after year after year what the Lord is trying to say to them, even when they don't listen, and even when they threaten his life, and when they throw him into a pit, and when they lock him up to shut him out, because that's the kind of thing that keeps happening to Jeremiah all throughout the story, year after year. And the people there in the kingdom of Judah had some good reasons for doing that, by the way. I mean, every time Jeremiah tells the people to submit to Babylon, to this outside power, it was an act of treason that he was speaking. Every time he said that the king was going to end up dead on the streets, he was threatening the head of the state. So, of course, they tried to shut him up. They've tried to prove him otherwise, but Jeremiah, he kept at it because God kept at it year after year. God keeps hounding the people, trying to get them to wake up and to listen and to pay attention to what God is actually trying to tell them rather than simply to hear what they want to hear. Of course, you and I, we wouldn't know anything about that, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty much, I always hear what God is trying to say to me. And you know, if you don't agree with me, well, that's probably because you're not listening to God. Me, I'm always listening. And you know, I never deceive myself into believing what I want to believe. Just don't ask my wife about that one, okay? Truth is, this is really one of the greatest struggles of the people of God, the greatest struggles of our spiritual lives. This semester, I've been studying the early desert fathers in the 3rd and 4th century. There's these early Christians who devoted their life to seeking God, and they were called Abbas and Ammas, these spiritual fathers and mothers. So they went out into the desert in Egypt. This is a few hundred years after Christianity's just getting started, and they're trying to seek to know God in a deeper way. And we have this record still of these stories that happened and these wisdom sayings that they developed. There's just these little nuggets of wisdom. And in one of them, Abba John the Little said, that's not you, by the way. Abba John the Little said, we have abandoned a light burden of self-criticism and taken up the heavy burden, namely self-justification. In other words, our real spiritual work is to be more self-critical, to be honest with ourselves, but we spend most of our energy trying to justify ourselves to others around us, don't we? And we end up pretty good at deluding ourselves, even. Truth is, none of us are very good at hearing what we don't want to hear. We don't like to be corrected. And we certainly have a hard time believing that maybe we are the ones at fault, right? I mean, we think what we think is right and that we are right. And one of the hardest things in the world is to be open enough, to be humble enough to hear otherwise, especially when the truth being told us is so contrary to how we're used to seeing things. And so Abba John the Little said, we've abandoned the light burden, namely self-criticism, and taken up this very heavy burden, namely self-justification. It's true in our time, just as it was true in the early days of the church, just as it was true in this ancient time of Jeremiah. In fact, this is what is happening throughout the entire book of Jeremiah, and it's what happens during these last few kings of Judah and their inability to hear something contrary to what they believe or what they want to be true leads to the complete and utter destruction. There's this story in chapter 36 where God tells Jeremiah, here late in the book, chapter 36, God tells Jeremiah to write down everything that for all these years God has been telling Jeremiah, all the things that God has spoken through Jeremiah for decades, all the things that God told Jeremiah through the previous king's life and through the current king's life. Write it all down, and maybe if they hear all of it together, they'll be able to recognize and to finally hear what God has been trying to say. And so that's what Jeremiah does. He calls his scribe in Baruch. And he begins to dictate as Baruch just writes all of this stuff down. On and on they go, hours and hours, maybe days even, writing it all down on this long scroll. And then Jeremiah sends his scribe Baruch out to the temple to read it when the temple is full and crowded. And so that's what he does. Baruch, he stands there and he reads it for all who have ears to hear. On and on he goes, reading Jeremiah's warnings, these words that he'd been giving year after year. Well, certainly it gets the people's attention there. And in fact, one of the people there in the temple that day was part of the king's inner court. And so this person decides he needs to gather together the cabinet because they need to hear this. They probably should do it without the king, though, no need to bother him. And so the cabinet gathers, and they call in Jeremiah's scribe Baruch, and they ask him to read it all to them again. And they listen as Baruch goes on and on. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and he told you this. And then he did that, remember? And then he told you this, remember? Well, they do remember. And it starts to catch their attention, and the scriptures say they were alarmed at what they were hearing. And they realize that the king, well, the king's got to hear this too, but they also know telling the king could be a bit dangerous. He's not going to like to hear this. So they tell Baruch, hey, you and Jeremiah, you better go hide while we share this with the king. Let no one know where you are, they said. So while Baruch and Jeremiah go into hiding, the cabinet takes the scroll to the king and tells him all about it. Well, read it to me, the king says. And I want you to picture this just for a moment. The scriptures say that it was winter time, and the king and his advisors were all gathered in his winter house. And over in the corner of his winter house, they had a nice little fire keeping them warm. Hopefully it was a little bigger than this. They had this fire over in the corner, and they gather around and they begin to listen to this scroll that had been written down. And Baruch begins to read it, and he says, the word of the Lord came to you, saying, the Babylonians are coming. Submit to them. And as the king hears the scroll being read, he walks over, and after one part of it is read, he rips that part off of the scroll, and he throws it into the fire. But that doesn't stop them. They keep reading what needs to be read and hearing what needs to be heard. And so he hears it again. Repent from what you've been doing. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and the king goes. And he rips it from the scroll. And he keeps ripping it and burning it until all of it has been burnt. Submit yourself to the yoke of Babylon. Save us from this mass destruction that is coming. The king rips it off and burns it. And his advisors tell him, no, king, stop. We need to hear this. This is the truth. They plead with him to stop. But the king won't. Another word is read. He goes over and rips it from the scroll one by one, and they burn it. And then the king calls for the arrest of Jeremiah and Baruch. He will not have it. Which makes me wonder, I mean, how often do we do the same thing? How often are we simply unable to hear the word of truth so that when it comes to us, rather than making its words into our hearts, the word of truth goes up in smoke? I mean, the king, he probably thought he was doing the right thing. After all, he's defending the throne of his forefathers, of King David. He's defending God's throne. Only God didn't want him to defend it. God wanted him to listen, to turn, and to submit to something outside of his power. And that's exactly what's so hard for us to do, isn't it? Not only to hear what we don't want to hear, but to submit to something that is beyond us. In fact, that may be one of the greatest traps that the people of God get caught in. Sometimes we are really the worst at this. It's really ironic, I think, that this is the king in Jerusalem where the temple of God is hearing from God's prophet, and he's unable to hear. But it was just a few weeks ago we were in Jonah when God's prophet went to a foreign king, an evil king, and he hears the word and immediately he repents and puts on ashcloth. That king could hear. It should be telling for us. There's a deep danger here for the people of God. We think we know what God wants from us. Because, well, we've read the Bible, right? We've been to Sunday school more times than we can remember. We've heard more sermons than we could count. We've got this faith of ours pretty well nailed down. We've got this God of ours pretty well figured out. And we might not even say that out loud, or we might not even say it to ourselves. But the honest truth is, that's how we operate most of the time. It's just so hard to see what we cannot see, or to hear what we're not already open to hearing. And it's especially hard to submit to a power outside of ourselves that feels like a threat. But sometimes I wonder if that might just be exactly what God is asking of you, to be open and humble enough to hear what's hard for you to hear, to be open and humble enough to see that you might be wrong about a few things, to be open and humble enough to submit yourself to what God is asking of you. And that might be letting go of some things that you need to let go of. That might be allowing some things into your life that you need to allow. I don't know. I don't know what that difficult thing God is asking of you. What I do know, though, is that we're not very good at hearing God on our own, because I'm pretty good at fooling myself. That's why we need each other. It's why staying rooted in a community of faith is so essential for our spiritual health and life. I need you to help me see what I can't see and to hear what I'm not willing to hear. That's why Dayspring needs Southern Union. That's why Southern Union needs Dayspring. We need each other to hear and to know what maybe we can't hear on our own. And of course, even then, sometimes we're not going to get it right. And that's what keeps happening in the time of Jeremiah. Jeremiah continues to speak the word of truth that needs to be spoken. In fact, after he found out that the king had ripped up and burned up that whole scroll, he and Baruch got back together and they did the whole thing again, wrote it down hour after hour, day after day. But the people still didn't listen. The king still didn't listen. And that's the real tragedy in this story. Because when we don't listen, when we are ignoring that pestering word of God to us, it will most certainly lead to a kind of death for us. Because God's words, as hard as they might be for us to hear, are always the words of life. I'm reminded of this story from the Gospel of John. This is in John chapter 6, where Jesus, he's been performing miracles and he's gathering these large crowds and people are excited to hear what Jesus has to say. But then Jesus starts to teach and to say things that are a lot harder to swallow, some things that people don't like. And so this great crowd that's been gathering around Jesus begins to dissipate one after another. They start leaving. We don't like that, Jesus. And eventually, Jesus, as the crowds begin to leave, turns to the 12 left over, to just the 12. And he asks them point blank, do you want to leave too? And Peter looks at him, and I almost wonder if there was a pause as Peter's trying to decide what to do. And he says these really beautiful words of faith. Well, to whom else shall we go? Because you have the words of life. Peter recognizes that, yeah, God's word might be hard to hear at times, and it may ask some difficult things for us. God may ask us to simply trust and obey when that doesn't make any sense. But God's invitation, God's words, are always the words to life. The king in Jeremiah's day rejects God's word, and eventually it leads to his death. And finally, the complete destruction of Jerusalem, the very thing that he thought he was protecting. But thanks be to God, our rejection and the death that that brings into our life is never the end of the story. And that's what our reading from Jeremiah that we heard earlier is really all about. Right there in the middle of this huge, tragic book of warning, Jeremiah tells us that there's a bigger story going on. A day is coming, the Lord says, when I will write my words into your heart. In other words, no king will be able to tear them up and burn them in a fire. No, God will inscribe the words of life deep within us. And this is one of the most important passages in all of the prophets, because it's helping us to see where this great story is going. This covenant that was once written on two stone tablets will be made alive in us. The word of God will be made alive among us. The word will become flesh, so to speak. Because God won't leave us to our own destruction. In the face of human rejection, God keeps hounding us. In the face of our clogged up ears, God reaches in and transforms our hearts. This is what God does. This is what Christ does. So no matter what death has been sown into your life, no matter how often you have forgotten or you have ignored God's words to you, God has not forgotten you. God is after you, relentlessly pursuing you, hounding you, because God is determined to write into your very soul the words that lead to life. So open up your hearts and allow God to enter. Amen.